Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files and listen on your phone or personal computer. And when you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery. And our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Hey, mister, that's a mighty big dog you got there.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
It's Linderman Unleashed on Natural News Radio.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?
All opinions and views expressed on Linderman Unleashed are strictly those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Natural News Radio. Warning, this program might cause you to think for yourself. Listener discretion is advised. And now, here's your host, Kurt Linderman.
That's right, folks. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed. I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr. I'm going to be bringing you the bare-knuckled right hook of truth to any that would try to put the chokehold on your liberty and health freedom. Hey, I told you a couple of months ago that I was trying to get this incredible lady on the program. We've been talking for quite some time, and we finally have figured out our schedules. Of course, I'm talking about Heidi Stevenson, who is the founder of Gaia Health. She operates the site, and the reason I wanted her on the program is because for a long time now, I've been reading her articles and using them on the program, and it's just like, you know, I thought this lady was this big, huge journalist that was just out there, and then we started talking on the phone, and she's really just out there, just like me and Kim are, like many of you are. She's just out there, but she's an incredible writer, incredible activist. Heidi, welcome to Linderman Unleashed. I'm so glad I finally got you on the program.
Thank you. I am actually thrilled to be here.
Well, as I said, I've been reading your articles for quite some time, and I'm just super impressed with your writing and your activism. But kind of what we're going to talk about today is, let me just say it's a bit of a continuation of the Leslie Carroll Botha interview, as far as we're going to be talking primarily about the Gardasil and Cervarix vaccine, and you've come up with some really astonishing information. Why don't you just give us an overview of what you're wanting to talk about today?
Okay, well, I've been looking at Cervarix and at Gardasil and trying to understand what L-histidine is. What's the purpose in putting it in there? And I think I've got it, actually. I'm almost 100% certain on this. Let me give you a little background. I was suspicious about it from the get-go. It is a natural substance found in the body. L-histidine is a precursor to histamine, an absolutely necessary substance, and other substances that the body must have. And as with lipids, you have to be very, very cautious about injecting something into the body that is seen as something that is like the body. And of course, L-histidine isn't just like a part of the body, it is a part of the body. So I went around trying to find the answer. I went straight to Merck and I asked them. They're not saying. That's the bottom line. They simply will not answer that question. I spoke with Lucia Tomljanovic, who does some fantastic research, and I'm currently writing about some research that she and Christopher Shaw have just recently done. Very much an expert on Gardasil and Cervarix and on the issues with them. She doesn't know why it's there. So I then went to Diane Harper. Now, she's the woman who was considered an expert on it, who actually helped in the development of it. What she actually did was help, not just help, but actually she was the designer of the earliest human experiments using Gardasil. So she is an expert. She doesn't know why it's there.
Wow.
Yeah, that just floored me. And that just says why. You have to ask why.
Yeah, that's got to send up a red flag when one of the earliest developers of the vaccine can't tell you why something's in there. Obviously, then, it's something that was put in there after her phase of the development ended.
No, I don't believe so. I'm actually certain that it was not put in after her phase.
Wow.
Certain that it was put in. You see, remember, she was a designer of the study, not a designer of the vaccine.
Okay.
There's a distinction there. Now, personally, I would want to know that kind of information, but I think in the industry you'll often find people not asking questions.
Right.
And so I think that she was absolutely honest that she did not know. So I started looking and trying to make comparisons between the two vaccines. What kind of adjuvant is used? What are the excipients? Those are the things that carry the vaccine itself, so that they have something that they can put it into, so that they can inject it, basically liquefy it in a sense.
Right.
And there's nothing terribly unusual in either one. They use different methods in developing, getting the antigen. That's the substance that's the goal, that they inject so that the body will create these antibodies. That's its function. And they're both done through recombinant DNA research. Sorry about that. They use different methods, but they end up with the same particle. No big surprise.
Right.
But Cervarix was very interesting because Cervarix has two adjuvants. It does not have one adjuvant. It does have aluminum. And the FDA tells you it uses aluminum, but it doesn't point out that there is another adjuvant there. And that adjuvant, in reading through the list of ingredients, one of them is 3-O-desacyl-4-monophosphorylipid-A, MPL. That term lipid jumped right out of me. Lipid means fat.
Right.
And squalene is a lipid. That's what's wrong with it. So I double-checked, and I found out that that big long term means squalene.
Oh, my God. I had no idea.
Exactly. Cervarix has two adjuvants in it.
But squalene is not okayed for use in America, right?
No. Actually, here's the kicker. I happen to have run into the reason that the little game playing that the FDA uses. No, they haven't approved squalene. But you see, the way they play the game, they don't have to approve squalene. Squalene is not an end-user product. It is not something that is given as a drug.
Hmm.
Okay? They don't approve things that go into products. They approve end products.
Oh, my God.
Therefore, yes, they did approve this with squalene in it, and you can expect to see a lot more of it.
And now, for the listeners that don't exactly know what the squalene is, squalene, just like the histidine, is naturally occurring in our body. But what we're seeing, and why I kind of suggested that the Gardasil vaccine and what we're seeing, the injuries there, I can kind of associate with the vaccines and the Gulf War syndrome. They're not the same, but the effects of the vaccine are kind of similar. The delivery system, if you will, for these mysterious diseases and ailments. And it makes sense now. This squalene is being used in the military vaccines on a normal basis. And I think that the squalene use in the military vaccines are playing a large role in Gulf War syndrome. And now to find out that it's being used in these vaccines, it makes even more sense to me.
I have no doubt. I mean, obviously, they did it for a reason. And the reason they use any adjuvant is because they're not injecting the whole organism. In other words, they used to inject whole viruses or bacteria that were either killed or weakened. The problem is that's an extremely expensive and time-consuming process. So now they're using recombinant DNA, which ultimately is very cheap in the total picture. And instead of having a duplicate of the entire virus, they have a duplicate of a very tiny piece of it. And the body doesn't get very excited about that. It doesn't look, I suspect that the issue is that it doesn't look like it's living. It's the things that look like they're living that make the body get nervous. So you can inject saline, and there's really no problem with that, because saline doesn't look like a living thing. But any kind of an oil, or which squalene is, that's just exactly like something that's living. And the body says, oh, no, it gets very excited. It creates this a much stronger response. And so anything associated with it that tends to get picked up as being a problem, something to react to.
Right. It creates that immune response.
That's the purpose of it. Now we know that Cervarix has two adjuvants. There has to be a reason for that. And the reason has got to be that aluminum by itself just isn't enough. And interestingly enough, with Gardasil, as Lucia Tomljanovic and the people she works with have found, they develop extremely strong responses to these vaccines. They have antibodies that are 10 times more than they normally get in vaccinations. That's, again, there's got to be a reason for that. It doesn't happen out of the blue. So I think it's a pretty safe bet that the reason we have two adjuvants in Cervarix is because it creates a stronger response. So what is L-histidine? These vaccines are very similar. And if aluminum were enough, you can be sure they'd just use aluminum. I mean, why go to the extra trouble?
Right.
So nobody can answer what L-histidine is. I don't think that we can reasonably assume that it is anything but another adjuvant added, and that it is probably a big part of, as you describe it, why we're getting these massive reactions, these horrific reactions, and that they have this terrible Gulf War syndrome look to them.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is because basically what they're doing, and it makes all the sense. Now, you're just breaking this, your theory to me right here on the air because you wanted my response on the air. It makes all the sense in the world to me that this histidine is and is being utilized as an adjuvant because it's creating that immune response. Your body's recognizing it as an invader, but yet it's not just going to differentiate, okay, well, this was the stuff that was injected into me, so I attack this, but I'm not going to attack the L-histidine that is naturally occurring in the body. It's going to attack everything. It's just going to recognize it all as a foreign invader.
Yes, and to further support this, by recognizing it as an invader, it's going to go around trying to destroy it in the body. Now, L-histidine is a precursor to histamine, which is an absolutely necessary, basically it's a hormone. And there are certain conditions that are associated with drops in histamine, including things like rheumatoid arthritis. Now think about that. What is one of the most common reactions to these vaccines?
Yeah, exactly.
Joint pain.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I'll tell you what, we're going to get right back into this. I've got to take a quick commercial break, but we're going to get right back into what this histidine and the lack of histidine in the body due to these vaccines is doing to the body. As soon as we get back from this quick break, don't forget to support our sponsors. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed, naturalnewsradio.com.
Aaron Fullen here. As the food police shut down food co-ops, the Amish and small farmers, Americans are losing access, not just to raw milk and homemade cheeses, but to healthy, home-crafted sources for fermented foods like sauerkraut, yogurt, and kefir. It seems there's a war on life-giving foods with living enzymes and healthy bacteria. But frankly, I'm not sure what the food police are so afraid of. These remarkable foods have been around since the beginning of history, with archaeological evidence for fermented foods and beverages being found across the globe in almost every culture. Even today, Japanese eat miso, Africans eat fermented porridges, Koreans eat kimchi, and in India, fermented milk is a staple for healthy living. But here's some good news. Self-reliant Americans can now discover the secrets to making these amazing fermented foods legally and privately in their own homes. Since it's still legal to make these foods as long as you can make them yourself. For more information, check out fermentationfactor.com. That's fermentationfactor.com. It's easy to create your own powerful fermented foods, and you can do it by going to www.fermentationfactor.com. That's www.fermentationfactor.com.
Are you concerned about the food supply, including GMOs in your family's diet? With pesticides, herbicides, and questionable additives like MSG, high fructose corn syrup, aspartame, and food dyes in most foods on the market today, you should be. Well, now there's an affordable alternative to high retail organic food prices. Announcing Box Organics, created by two families with children affected by autism that were not only concerned with the toxic ingredients in our conventional diets, but equally concerned with the high cost of providing their family nutritious organic foods. Box Organics offers USDA certified organic fruit, vegetables, dairy, dry goods, and meats delivered fresh, not frozen, directly to your door. We're an online store offering you substantial savings on the organic food that you want at your convenience. Ordering is easy. Box Organics currently offers free shipping in 15 states with a minimum purchase. Visit boxorganics.com. That's organics with an X.com today. Box Organics. Think and eat outside the box.
Diseased, corrupt temple down on your head. It's got to be biblical.
It's another night in hell, another child won't live to tell. Can you imagine what it's like to starve to death? And as we sit free and well, another soldier has to yell, tell my wife and children I love them in his last breath. Come on now, amen, 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 amen.
All right, thanks for staying with us. Linderman Unleashed, I'm your host, Kurt Linderman Sr. On the phone with me is Heidi Stevenson, a researcher in her own right, just doing some amazing research on this issue. Just blew me away with this whole idea that this big, long, drawn-out name, the O-desacyl-4-monophosphorolipid A, is actually the squalene that is in the military vaccines in the cervix vaccine. You were just elaborating a bit on that L-histidine is a precursor to histamine, and when you get low histamine in the body, because the body's now fighting it because it recognizes it as a as an invader, low histamine results in a lot of different ailments, one of which is what we're seeing with the side effects of the Gardasil vaccine, which is the rheumatoid arthritis.
Yes. I can't give you all of the conditions that are associated with low histamine, and but there are a lot of them. It is a recognized thing to look for in association with certain conditions. And I bring up that particular one because it's stuck in my mind because of the obvious connection. This is something that we see with the vaccine, and look what's happening.
You know, it's almost impossible to believe if people like you and I can get this, why aren't these doctors getting it? Why aren't they saying, okay, this makes all the sense in the world. These girls are getting these issues, and it's directly after or somewhat directly after the administration of either one or three of those vaccines. And why aren't they getting it?
There is a lot of motivation not to get it. There's the obvious money. I mean, especially with children, the biggest part of a pediatrician's practice in the United States is vaccinations.
Right.
Plus the cost of the charges for going into the office for the well child visit and so forth. There's that factor that you can't get away from. There's also the fact that there's incredible pressure inside the medical system not to see these things, because those doctors who do have a tendency to lose their licenses. We've seen that. We know Dr. Wakefield has been in that position. There's another doctor over here right now in the UK, who Dr. Sarah Myhill, who has been under attack by the officials at the and it's very obvious they're out to get her license because of the her taking stances that are outside what's the accepted practice in medicine. So there's an awful lot there, a lot of pressure. I don't justify it personally. I think that the first do no harm ethos should be the first consideration for any doctor, and yet it's not. It's very, very tragic that basically money, profits, have taken over the system.
And I think they're being overprotective even of these two vaccines. Primarily, what my belief is primarily because the injuries that are happening aren't happening to a three-month-old baby that didn't formerly talk and play sports and do all the great, you know, wonderful athletic things or intellectual things. And what we're seeing now is the injuries to girls that have a voice, and they're really becoming protective. And I believe it's also because, and Heidi, I'd love to have your view on this, I believe because of that issue, they're being overprotective because people are going to say, when the truth gets out on Gardasil and Cervarix, they're going to say, well, if you've been lying about these, what have you been lying about regarding the infant vaccines? And everything's going to blow up right in their faces.
I certainly think that's a very big possibility. It certainly could happen. I can't say exactly why. It certainly strikes me as something that there's a tremendous resistance to. It could be like you're describing. I just don't know. Any vaccine is presumed safe. That's the assumption from the get-go. That's the policy, literally. It's safe. None of them have ever been proven safe, but that's sort of irrelevant. We ignore that little detail. It's a very twisted approach. The entire mentality that exists here, within the system, this medical system, is twisted. It does not consider safety first. And that's tragic. And it's not just in the arena of vaccines. It's in the arena of anything to do with the spine. The amount of harm done through spinal surgeries is absolutely stunning. The problem is most people aren't aware of it because most people who get hurt that way, well, they become too ill. They kind of disappear until they finally fade away and die. But there's tremendous harm that's going on there. And then there's a tremendous harm that's done through the drugs that are used. And I'm not suggesting that there's no place for any of this. There is a place for it, but not the wholesale way in which it's used. The fact is that antibiotics are almost certainly a big part of the increase in cancers, because antibiotics destroy the biota of your of the gut, and it's never the same again.
Right.
So that leads to a dysfunctional immune system. You can go on and on about this. The basic attitude is twisted. It doesn't look for safety. It just looks for effects and doesn't consider what those effects really ultimately mean.
Well, and we're dealing with, you sent me some documents and they had the ingredients list. Now,
exactly, yes.
In the Cervarix does not contain L-histidine.
That's correct.
And
that's
they're correct. Using the squalene as the adjuvant, which gave you the theory, it probably led you to believe that with Gardasil just having the adjuvant aluminum in it, that and nobody being able to explain why in the hell the L-histidine is in there, you're saying that that's what led you formulating this theory that, well, the L-histidine must be the second adjuvant in the Gardasil vaccine.
Well, I almost hate to tell you this, but it was actually just the opposite. The moment I saw L-histidine, my mouth dropped open, quite honestly, because I immediately saw that as a potential adjuvant.
Okay.
As a potential like squalene. But it wasn't until I went and took a good hard look at Cervarix. Well, it wasn't until after I tried to find out why L-histidine is there and could not get an answer anywhere, and then thought to double-check what's in Cervarix and saw that squalene is there, that I realized, oh, this is there really is nothing else that this L-histidine could be there for. If there were any other reason, they wouldn't hide it. Pure and simple, there would be no reason to refuse to say what it is. There were, the company is Merck is quite frank about the fact that aluminum is an adjuvant. The FDA states that Cervarix and Gardasil have aluminum as an adjuvant. They don't mention the squalene, but it's there for anybody to find it. But you can't hide that. But L-histidine, well, you can hide it out in the open.
But yet, I guess it just blows my mind that absolutely nobody is fessing up to this, is coming up and saying, well, I know what L-histidine's doing in there.
Well, it does kind of make you wonder what's really happening in the world, doesn't it? You have to wonder about the dishonesty and what degree of corruption exists. There's just no way around it. Because the fact that we are not being told why there's an ingredient in something that's being injected into us is—it's an obscenity. It really—I see it that way as an obscenity, as an evil thing. It should be a frank and obvious thing to say, "Oh yeah, we put that in there because you know."
Well, yeah, but it's equivalent to everybody getting angry about the fact of Prop 37 in California. What do you mean you don't want us to know what's in our food? Well, here we have the same issue. What do you mean you're not going to tell us what's in these vaccines, but yet you purport to, them to be safe?
Exactly. Yes, and I think that Proposition 37 is a perfect way of looking at it and making the point. Yes, of course we have a right to know. It's our bodies, and we have a right to know whatever is being put into our body and any potential harm that those that substance can do. We have that right.
And I think that's why we here at Linderman Unleashed are, and particularly me, I'm harping on this Gardasil issue. And it's because they're really being overprotective of this vaccine, and there's got to be a damn good reason for it. But yet also, those victims do have voices, and we need to utilize those voices. We need to utilize those parents. I've met mothers of some of these young girls that are now in wheelchairs and on life support, and they are pissed off and ready to take on the world. And despite the fact that they're also caring for their formerly healthy young daughters, but we need to utilize that energy, because this really could be the end all for the vaccine cabals out there.
Let's hope so, because what they've got planned coming down the pike is terrifying, because we now have vaccines not too far away from hitting the market to control behavior.
Oh, yeah. And they're talking.
And those are actually some of those. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have to point this out, because some of these take it a step further. There is an anti bat vaccine that's in development.
An anti what?
An anti-fat vaccine. A vaccine that is designed to attack and destroy fat. In other words, the antigen itself is a natural substance in the body. They've taken this it's like Gardasil and Cervarix have broken down the barrier.
Yeah, and that's like Gardasil on steroids, because we would all be dead without fat. And if they're using that as the main antigen in that vaccine, it will kill us.
I think their excuse is that, well, it's not going to last forever, which is rather intriguing, because vaccines are supposed to last forever. Well, they don't. So now that's going to become a selling point.
Yeah.
But, of course, the effects are different in everybody. We're all different. So in some people, you better believe it's going to last forever.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I guess that would be the thing. Is it the amount of the vaccine that they, okay, you're really fat, so we're going to give you 2 milliliters of this vaccine. And you're kind of pudgy, so we're going to give you 0.5 milliliter of it. That's just ludicrous, but I could fully see it happening with these idiots.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. We're also seeing ones that are supposed to make you lose your ability to get high.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Drugs. That's controlling behavior. And that's a terrifying thought when you get down to it. Because what are we but a bunch of our behaviors? And don't we have the right to decide how we want to be?
Well, and I'm sure that vaccine wouldn't have any effect on their Paxils and, all of their SSRIs and everything like that. I'm sure everybody can get high as they want on those.
Oh, yeah, if that's what the effect is on that individual. Yes, and actually those drugs are used for those purposes, which is rather intriguing, isn't it? Those are now street drugs.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we're going to take our last break, and as soon as I get back, I want to discuss a little bit with you about your forced vaccinations article. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Linderman Unleashed on naturalnewsradio.com.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
Hey, Doc, why don't you listen to Linderman Unleashed?
You can't handle the truth!
That's right, folks. You're with Kurt Linderman from Linderman Unleashed. I'm here on the phone with Heidi Stevenson. And Heidi, you recently authored an article called Forced Vaccination, Stepping into Eugenics. And I actually mentioned on the Facebook post where I first saw the article, Heidi, now you're right up my alley with this. And you're a little bit hesitant to go too far into this subject the last time we spoke. But, of course, it's one of my favorite subjects. And I honestly believe, Heidi, that these vaccines have a much more nefarious motive than just money. What's your opinion on that?
Well, when it comes down to the issue of eugenics, if you're talking about use of vaccines to determine how people behave, you're talking about controlling what people are. That's eugenics, whether you're talking about outright killing them or not. And to me, either one is abhorrent. It's just a matter of degree, and I think could even be worse to control somebody's behavior than to outright kill someone. I don't know if you remember, there was a movie quite some time ago, it was a big hit that was about this topic, and I hate to say it, the title escapes me, but it was about a young hoodlum, just an evil, horrible character. We see him in the first scene singing as he's doing horrible things to people. He's a bad guy, and we can't possibly like him. We have to abhor him. But then he gets taken over by the powers that be, the state. And they force him to behave in what the state considers a good way. But as you see his behavior taken over and controlled, it turns your stomach. It's a Clockwork Orange. That was the title of the movie.
Right.
And it turns your stomach, and when he manages to break free of this control, you end up cheering for him, even though he's a horrible person.
Right.
Because nobody has the right to do this to a human being. Nobody has the right to force us to be what we are not, or to behave in a way that we are not. That's what that movie got across, and that's what I see here. So whether it's outright killing or just changing what we are, it goes somewhere that nobody has the right to go.
Well, and Heidi, the other thing is, especially what we've been talking about as far as the Cervarix and the Gardasil, I honestly believe that we're going to start seeing a massive influx in infertility. And if that's not eugenics, I don't know what is. I mean, you're basically picking who you vaccinate and them not being able to have children. This is something right out of, the Rockefeller playbook.
I won't argue that with you. I will not argue with you. It is eugenics. It is absolutely an effect that's coming out of these vaccines. There's no question that Gardasil and Cervarix are resulting in infertility, and we're not really seeing that yet. Other than in cases of like the article I wrote about the girl whose ovaries basically have died, and the histology on excuse me, I take that back. That was on two deaths, the histology. The only reason that can be found for that happening to this girl is the vaccine, Gardasil.
Right.
Only thing that it could be. And we're seeing a lot of things happening that are similar to that. It's probably not going to happen to every girl, but it's going to happen to a lot of them.
And is it
a eugenics? That's a matter of personal opinion. Is it intentionally done to prevent more births? I don't know. Is it done simply because they don't care? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
Well, but when you look at the track record, when you look at the history of some of these big pharmaceutical companies and who they're associated with, I think it's a very safe guess, something that I would go to Vegas with, just because you've got the history of GlaxoSmithKline down in Venezuela and other parts of Central America, where they actually put the human growth the one hormone into the tetanus vaccine and tried to push it just on the young female girls from 15 to 30, and those priests down there said, why in the hell are they pushing tetanus only on girls? And they grabbed the vaccine and they tested it and found out that there was a hormone in with the vaccine that caused spontaneous abortions. Their track record tells you that these SOBs want to, to perform eugenics.
Well, I will tell you why they are focusing on girls. I can give you an answer to that. It's because they tetanus in newborns has been, and in poorer areas of the world still is, a serious issue. It does kill newborns, and that's their reasoning. Now, what their reasoning is, whether they are intentionally doing this because they hope to prevent these girls from being able to have babies, that's a whole different subject. And I just don't have an answer on that. I don't know. I can't argue with you. No bones about it. I cannot argue and say, I think you're wrong, because I don't. I just don't know for sure that I have enough to tell me that you're right, if that makes any sense to you.
Well, yeah, you don't want to jump in on that without having some proof. I don't have the proof either. I'm just simply making my claim that I honestly believe that there's a far more nefarious motive here. And getting back to the Gaia Health article regarding forced vaccinations, you bring up some incredibly poignant points here, and one of them is, despite the number, whether, you bring up a number, like what if it's, if one person dies or becomes disabled from the vaccine, but yet you save 20, and only one, seven of them might get sick, but they get better because of the vaccine or whatever. But even when you make that one dying to 1,000, who makes that decision? And it damn sure shouldn't be government.
Amen to that. Actually, I think the only people who have the right to make that decision are the people involved, period. I might want to say, I think it's worth it. I think that you should do this. But do I have the right to tell somebody else you're obligated to take this risk? Absolutely not. That is heinous. I don't know any other way to look at it. And yet that argument is currently in vogue. That's the argument for pushing herd immunity. Even though herd immunity through vaccines is questionable, even assuming it's legitimate, how can you possibly justify deciding that some people's lives are less valuable than others? And that's the decision that you're making.
Yeah, that's ultimately what it boils down to. You can, you know, color it rosy all you want, but ultimately that really is what it boils down to. Whoever's life is sacrificed on the altar, you know, for lack of a better term, to save the other lives, so be it. And that's a horrible thing to even consider. But yet, like you were saying, Heidi, that does seem to be the mantra used all over this planet now is, well, you know, it's for the greater good. Well, that's fine for you to say until it's your child.
Exactly. Or yourself, for that matter, because adults are getting hurt, too. No two ways about that. It's certainly the worst effects and the most immediate ones are in newborns because of their immune systems just simply aren't ready for this. Not that anybody's is completely, but theirs are really poorly prepared.
Right.
And then next is the Gardasil Cervarix situation. But everybody is potentially affected, and people do. I mean, after all, Guillain-Barré syndrome is a result usually of flu vaccines, and those are adults who are getting hit.
Right.
So why should anybody ever be told it's your obligation to get this get this vaccine, not for yourself, but to protect somebody else?
Well, and
on
that's
what basis can anybody say that?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing on a regular basis. And that's, you know, I'm seeing it from posts on newspaper articles and news stories where it's, you keep your nasty, disease-ridden, unvaccinated child out of my son's classroom or my daughter's school or whatever it might be. And it's just so ridiculous, but at the same time so scary because it was public opinion in Germany that allowed those showers in Dachau to operate. And that's
Amen.
What we're seeing here. We're seeing the populace being controlled by the media and getting this whole idea out that that us unvaccinating folk are like the lesser humans that need
right.
to be cleansed.
In other words, the unvaccinated people are the, as it started in Germany, they started with the disabled.
Right.
Because you could see the poor disabled people, well, they really weren't their lives weren't so worthwhile anyway. They were defective, so it's okay. That starts the process. And here, the process starts somewhere else. It starts with those, well, it's unfortunate that person was harmed, that person was disabled, but you know, that person was weaker, and you know, that these things happen.
Right.
It's one thing to let nature do that, it's another to choose to do that.
Well, and then when you consider the fact that even back then in Nazi Germany, you had a much lesser percentage of the population that were actually disabled, I believe, and I haven't researched this, but compared to what we have now, because it is an atrocity that 54% of children today have a chronic ailment, we have almost 3 million autistic children in this country alone. And when you imagine the whole idea of history repeating itself and starting to see this eugenics-based program coming out of, the first thing we're going to do is get rid of the people that are non-productive. That's my child.
My child
that's vaccine injured.
Exactly. I could not agree more. Absolutely could not agree more. It is an absolutely terrifying thing that we're seeing happen, and it is happening. I don't see how we can see it any other way. Anybody who could argue that you must accept this medical treatment for the good of somebody else is playing a very, very dangerous game. And people accepting that are, you know, the word sheeple is the only thing I can think of that covers it. It's exactly the way people behaved in Nazi Germany. It was just accepting this because, well, our betters have said this. And, you know, who are we to argue?
And doesn't it frighten you? Now, you're over in Europe where you kind of have the universal medicine. Is that correct?
Yes. And I actually don't think that that's really the issue. I mean, I personally do believe that people are, I think it's a moral obligation that if you can help people through with medicine, that it be available. I really do. But the problem is that over here, just as in the States, the system has been virtually taken over by these corporate interests. Big Pharma is the one that jumps to mind, but it's not just the pharmaceutical industry, and has taken over and has used it for its own purposes, just like it's taken over the FDA in the United States, the USDA. It doesn't matter which agency that's supposed to be protecting us. They don't.
Well, and that's my fear with this Obamacare debate going on over here, is that's my fear, is that the government is 100% controlled by these special interests. And if Obamacare were all centralized around chiropractic and homeopathy and naturopathy, I would be like, well, hell yeah, for one thing, it's a hell of a lot cheaper to perform chiropractic and naturopathy on a patient. Everybody would be healthier. Let's go for it. But I'm just afraid with what I'm seeing now with the government, how they already push these vaccines, when we have this universal health care, I don't see anything but damn and doom, you know, and doom.
Well, I am here now, and I am a dual citizen. I spent most of my life in the States. I've experienced both. And I can't see that's the issue. I think that it gets forced on us either way. These terrible policies are happening in both places at the same time. There hasn't been any more pressure to be vaccinated over here than there ever was in the United States, to be quite frank. The pressure is developing here just as it is in the United States. So it's happening at the same time. It's like Codex Alimentarius and what's happening as a result of it and its proclamations, its rulemaking. It's being used worldwide to control the rules throughout the world. The implementation is different in different places, the way it's being done. But it is being done, and it's being done everywhere, with the exception possibly of Russia, believe it or not. They're not signing the same treaties that are enforcing these rules, but virtually everybody else is. And I'm including Southeast Asia, China, Europe, the U.S., even South America, Japan, all of it. It's just being taken over. And the U.S. does it its way, and the EU does it its way. But it is happening.
Yeah,
We're losing. We are losing our right to access the medical systems of our choice. The tools of health of our choice are being taken from us. And however it gets implemented is horrifying.
Well, I'm just so concerned. And I guess you're right. I mean, you haven't convinced me, but I see your point as far as the Obamacare.
The point I'm making is that what's happening is happening. And whether it's through Obamacare or not, and I don't like Obamacare, quite frankly, but it's happening whether there's Obamacare there or not.
Right. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
It's happening. The states are making these rules. California has just passed a law saying that if you want to avoid vaccination, you have to go pay your money, go to a doctor, and have that doctor sign documents and listen to a lecture by that doctor. You don't know that doctor will even sign those documents. And how many people have the money to do that?
No.
And yet that's the requirement now in California. And in some states, Maryland, for example, you can be prosecuted if you do not have your child vaccinated. It is the law in that state. You cannot avoid it.
And that is frightening in and of itself. But What are your feelings? I mean, we've talked earlier in the program about the fact that, yeah, we've got people out there saying, you know, keep your disease-ridden, unvaccinated child out of my child's school and keep away from me and everything. And yeah, but we can brush shoulders at Walmart and you have no problem with me. So you're a moron in and of itself. But the whole idea of, do you feel like the table's turning one way or the other? Because at the same time, I'm seeing a hell of a lot more parents at least question vaccines more. So what is your opinion of which side of the table is turning?
Honestly, I don't know. I sit back here and just wonder. I am seeing what you're seeing. I am seeing more and more people getting involved, realizing that things aren't okay. That maybe we need to think about these things. Maybe this is a matter of individual choice. Whether it's enough, I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah, I certainly do.
Because the power on the other side is pretty potent.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to read. It really is, because sometimes you'll see story after story over Facebook and online and other places and just see all these anti-vaccine things. But then you start reading some of the comments and it's like, oh my God, we are lost.
Well, I think though that one thing we need to keep in mind, and I think this is critical, is that we need to make sure that our methods of communication are open. That means that we need to have a free an open internet. We cannot allow the ISPs to determine what we can and cannot see. We cannot allow Facebook or Twitter to decide what we can and cannot post.
Well, and they're already doing that.
They are, but it's still not total.
Right.
We need to assure that, because this is why these issues really are not, don't stand alone. The issue of vaccination doesn't stand by itself. It is one of many. The issue of freedom of the internet, the ability to speak without, to say what we have to say without fear of our governments coming down on us. This is critical, and it's all part of the same issue, and we need to recognize that and deal with it in that way. It's becoming a matter of life and death, literally.
Yeah, it truly is, because if it weren't for the information that we get out there on a regular basis, whether it's via a online internet radio show, or whether it's your articles getting out there, or my little website, or whatever it might be, it's so imperative that we have that ability to get that information out unencumbered by government. And it's becoming more and more realistic that that's not going to be the case unless more people wake the heck up.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely, could not agree more. That is so critical. If we want to win the battle of vaccines, if we want to have the freedom of choice in vaccination, then we have to also realize that we need to be able to communicate with each other, and to do that, we need the freedom of information. And we must be aware on that battleground too.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I see that dwindling away more and more each day, and it is quite frightening. Heidi, I'd like to thank you for being on the program. I just absolutely love your articles, love everything you're doing. And I know from seeing my friends on Facebook and listeners to my program, they just absolutely adore what you're doing and appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you so much. This has been absolutely great. I've actually thoroughly enjoyed myself here. It's been fascinating.
Well, I told you would. Well, for one thing, we're kind of like birds of a feather there, our thinking. We disagree just enough to make it interesting, but we agree on enough that it's going to be an enjoyable interview, and I hope that you'll come back.
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely love to.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk soon, I can assure you, Heidi.
Thanks.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Heidi Stevenson. I'm going to tell you what, I just absolutely adore that lady. She's such a great writer, and she's just out there kicking butt. And just this whole idea of figuring out that Cervarix contains the squalene. That's huge news. I'm going to have to write something up on that. This is huge, folks. Cervarix and Gardasil could be the death blow that we need. It's just such an important topic. We're going to be covering as much as we possibly can, because I honestly believe this is the key to really sticking it to the pharmaceutical companies regarding the vaccine issue. We're going to be talking with some other people on the program here in the very near future. I've got a lot of interviews that I'm lining up, so y'all stay tuned. It's going to be great. Kim should be back with me tomorrow. Until then, do not forget, here at Linderman Unleashed, the gloves are always off. Y'all have a great one.